Obligatory disclaimer. Due to the fact that Badger was in New York and the rest of the hosts haven't quite recovered from the New Year's celebration, there will be no roundtable this episode. Instead, we will bring you Svengoolie and Me by the Veister. Rest assured, the Roundtable of Terror will return next episode.
For the deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where we hit the bottom, for the inside of your casket, to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious, it's time for a big, scary show.
Dave Prowse, Darth Vader from Star Wars, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, I'm Brandon DeVillier. I am the winner of the Gruesome Giveaway in December.
This is Laura Dark from Laura Dark Photography, and this is The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Kitsy Duncan with Everything. Check out fearmart.com, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show. And if you're not, I'm going to hunt you down, and I'm going to find you, and I'm going to hurt you.
Hi, this is Nez from Dark Spectre Custom Couture, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is R.A. Mihailov, Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at Times Square in New York by God City. And the ball is about to drop.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's about time to celebrate a new year. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year!
Happy 2016, everyone. I have never seen so many people in all my life. What's this piece of paper at my feet? Hold on a second. Holy cow, it's a list of the Ghosts' New Year's resolutions. Let's see here. Storm is asking to have time to rant in a hot minute. He's also vowing to get 50% more monkeys, a time machine to quit smoking, and to prove the existence of Cthulhu, Iowa, and Gavin Gaska. Good luck on that one, bud. The unknown scare actor says he wants to grow more hair on his head, less on his back. At least he said nothing about those ears, my God. Seduce Naomi Grossman while dressed as Pepper? Ew. And finally, visit more haunts this year than Badger. Yeah, dream on, big guy. He also brings you another version of Legends and Lore, it says here. Let's see, the Haunstrumentalist Jerry Vane, where is it? Here it is. Says he vows to swear more during the Round Table of Terrors this year, be drunk during the Round Table of Terrors this year, to play more rockin' tunes during the Big Scary Show, and, start an ABBA tribute band with Oz Fox. I'd pay a dollar to see that. Wow. Well, my name's not written on here, but I will say this. I will resolve to read the news more often. Well, every show, in fact. Keep bringing you big, scary news. Lose weight, win the Powerball, find true love, and hope you'll all keep listening to this special New Year's edition of The Big Scary Show. Happy 2016, everyone. Back to the party. Woo!
Good evening. I have been instructed to speak on the behalf of Necrotic Creations. Master and Lady Necrotic have been feverishly working in their lab, creating the most unusual and, I guess, make Halloween props that are not only perfect for any home or pro haunt, but fit for a mausoleum. I mean, museum. Isn't it time you decorate with props that are top quality, durable, and affordable from a company that offers excellent customer service and fast delivery? Remember, your haunted home is a fright without these amazing touches of the macabre to delight your guests each Halloween. Visit them at necroticcreations.com. They are dying to bring all your wicked desires to life. Happy haunting.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, so it's the new year, and it's time to talk building your haunts. And I want to talk about the absolute worst building material you can possibly find anywhere to build your haunt, or, you know, anything else for that matter. And there's an epidemic out there with, you know, your Facebook and Pinterest using this building material, and that is shipping pallets. Yes, shipping pallets, made of the crappiest wood you can imagine, and put together with nails with about the same amount of metal in them as a paperclip. Absolute garbage. Great if you're looking for aesthetic. You need broken down wall looking things? Alright, let's use some broken down pallets. I've actually used them to make a tunnel in an outdoor scene, part of like this industrial thing, and lit it from behind. But you use the pallets just for aesthetics. You actually have to build the actual structure and use good wood to put them together and hold them up because they're awful. There's a reason why they're out there, you know, sitting around and people say, hey, it's an inexpensive building material, because it's cheap and garbage. It's pretty much made out of the same wood that those little wooden airplanes used to have, you know, put together, put the wings through the body, and some of them had the rubber bands, and literally if they hit anything, they exploded. You know, the wings would just fall apart and just not work. So, yeah, just ignore, you know, you see your Pinterest, you see things going on, and you say, oh, what a great thing to build your haunt with. No, use anything else, because you're just going to need to buy expensive good wood to put together your haunt instead of pallets. And everyone say hi to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is my new cat, and he's now down here helping me record Haunt Minute. Yeah? Alright. Well, until next time, keep every minute scary.
Hi, this is Josh Gates from Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown, reminding you to send all hate mail to storm@bigscaryshow.com.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Store.
Gimme bloodshed, gimme, hell yeah!
Wednesday 13. Gimme bloodshed, on the Big Scary Show.
Open your eyes, sweet Mary Jane, take a look around. You're miles away from anyone, and no one can hear our sound. And you're knocking on the heaven's door while you change to a dirty floor. Your sunshine just got nowhere near to. It's true, it's dripping from your body now, and it's filling up this room. And you scream, 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 but no one hears us because you're locked away. Your sunshine just got lowered into an early grave. Give me bloodshed, give me hell yeah, give me bloodshed, oh yeah. Give me bloodshed, give me hell yeah, give me bloodshed, oh yeah. Give me bloodshed, give me hell yeah, give me bloodshed. Yeah, give me bloodshed, give me hell yeah, give me bloodshed, oh yeah. I am a confession, a love affair with Smith and Wesson. Fidelity is my obsession, and I can never get enough. Give me hell yeah, give me bloodshed, give me hell yeah, give me bloodshed, oh yeah, give me bloodshed, give me hell yeah, give me bloodshed, oh yeah, give me bloodshed, give me hell yeah, give me bloodshed, oh yeah, give me bloodshed, give me hell yeah, give me bloodshed, oh yeah.
Do you want online ticketing but get scared by service fees? HauntPay is scary simple ticketing and payments for your haunted attraction. With features made for haunts, including timed ticketing and repeat time slots, variable ticket types, bundled and combo tickets, social media discounts, and more, HauntPay is designed with haunted attractions in mind. Check them out at hauntpay.com and start now for free.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
We start out with this news from the Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky. Happy New Con Year, everyone. We will be holding our very first full staff meeting on Sunday, January 31st at 2 p.m. This will be held at Patty Starr's Ghost Hunter Shop, 835 Porter Place in Lexington, as usual. Please invite any of your friends or family that may be interested in working the show this year. During this first meeting, we will discuss team leaders and assign returning staff members to their specified areas. It is very important that you know who your team leads are after you've been assigned. If you would like more information or would like to have a 2006 or 2016 staff application emailed to you, please email volunteer@thescarefest.com. You can bring completed applications with you to the meeting, or you can get blank apps to fill out while you're there. We'll see you soon, and we are very excited for Scarefest 9 coming later in 2016. We have this news from the Phobias Haunted House in Wright City, Missouri. Phobia's Haunted House has asked that we get some feedback from all of you. They're planning to open their doors during this year's Trans World Halloween and Attraction Show. They're looking for feedback on the day that would be most beneficial for all. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or all three. So what say you, haunters? Leave your feedback at facebook.com/phobiashaunt. A special note, this tour is not affiliated with Transworld. We have this from the Nashville Nightmare Haunted Attraction in Hendersonville, Tennessee. Cupid has waged war against the humans. He despises their love and caring holiday. In an attempt to strike fear and hate into the hearts of mankind, he has brought to life his own version of some of the most horrific horror villains of all time. This special Valentine's two-night event will let guests tour their Night Terrors facility with their own twist on your favorite horror and sci-fi films. This is a full-contact event. Do not purchase tickets if you do not wish to be touched by their actors. Outside of Night Terrors, a chainsaw-armed, shotgun-holding hero is holding off the deadites with his S-Mart friends at the Evil Dead paintball booth. Step up, grab your boomstick, and fire away at the deadites and save the day. Tickets are now on sale at a discounted rate online. Tickets purchased online will go through the online sales and will call line and bypass the regular ticket purchase line. Get more information and links to purchase tickets at facebook.com/Nashville Nightmare Haunted House. We have this movie news from Rob Zombie. One of this year's most hotly anticipated horror movies is Rob Zombie's 31, which just recently wrapped production. The Sundance Film Festival will host the movie's world premiere in January, but first, Zombie has begun the process of securing a rating from the MPAA, and it's not going well. As the musician-slash-filmmaker noted on his Facebook page, the MPAA has given two different cuts of 31 an NC-17 rating, essentially meaning that the film, as it is right now, cannot be released in theaters. Zombie and his team will have to go back and edit the film for a third time in an effort to get an R rating. Quote, "Well, after two tries through the MPAA, our rating on 31 remains NC-17, Zombie wrote. "Maybe three is the charm to get an R rating. Why R, you ask? Well, because your local theater will not show an NC-17. Even though you're an adult, things must be censored for your enjoyment." Unquote. The film, they say, includes sadistic graphic violence, bizarre sexuality and nudity, pervasive disturbing images, and some strong language. Sounds like a Rob Zombie movie to us. 31 follows five carnival workers who are kidnapped the night before Halloween and held hostage in a large secret compound known as Murder World. Once there, they have 12 hours to survive a terrifying game in which the heads, murderous maniacs dressed as clowns, are released to hunt them down and kill them. To get more info, go to robzombie.com/tag/31. We have this interesting news from Aleister Crowley. The one-time home of Black Witch Aleister Crowley, the self-confessed most evil man in Britain, has been virtually destroyed by a fire which ripped through the 18th-century Loch Ness side mansion. The blaze at Bullskin House was spotted around 1:40 p.m. on December 22nd by a motorist. Within just a couple of hours, the flames had claimed 60% of the building, which had also been owned by Led Zeppelin lead guitarist Jimmy Page. More than 30 fire crew used 6 water jets in their attempt to douse the blaze. No one was in the house at the time. The house was built on land acquired from the church on a site that was reputedly chosen to annoy Lord Lovat, whose estate surrounded the property. The Frasers retained the house until the late 19th century, and its notoriety stems from Crowley, the Beast of Bullskin, who bought it in 1899. He was a self-proclaimed magician, and the press of the day recorded accounts of black magic, devil worship, and human sacrifice, calling him the wickedest man in the world. Unexplained and unconfirmed stories of the time include those of a local butcher cutting off his own hand with a cleaver after reading a note from Crowley written on a piece of paper with a spell on the reverse. There are rumors of a tunnel from the cellars of the house to the burial grounds, which lie below the house by the lochside. In 1971, the house was bought by Page, who was influenced by Crowley's ideas. In a 1975 interview, Page said, "Strange things have happened in that house which have nothing to do with Crowley. The bad vibes were already there." Interesting. We have this update from Days of the Dead in Atlanta. Days of the Dead is excited to announce a special screening of World of Death, as part of the Jab Pictures Film Festival for Days of the Dead Atlanta. Produced by Scotchworthy Productions Incorporated and JP3 Media, World of Death brings together the talent of over 200 filmmakers from 25 different countries in a compilation of short horror films that will terrorize, astonish, disturb, and excite genre fans across the globe. It will be screening Friday at 8 p.m. in the Jab Pictures Screening Room. As with all events and film screenings, admission is free with your Days of the Dead ticket. You can visit worldofdeathfilm.com for more information and for tickets for Days of the Dead Atlanta happening February 5th through the 7th at the Sheraton Atlanta downtown. Visit daysofthedead.net. We have some interesting news on a strange new app. Ever wonder why that property you see is so affordable? Maybe someone died in it. There's only one way to find out. Use the Died In-House website, which also works on your phone as an informative yet terrifying app to learn the truth. Unless the body is hidden behind a wall or in the attic, there's no way a potential buyer would know if someone died inside a property on sale. But before you sign a contract, you should go to diedinhouse.com first. Once you type in the address, the site will sift through millions of police records, news reports, and even death certificates to provide you with the spine-chilling answers you probably don't want to know. This includes illness, murder, accident, suicide, or natural deaths. That's diedinhouse.com for more info. And yes, I've run my address through it, but I'm not telling you the results. We have some news for all you body painter and FX folks about a makeup class coming to Chicago. Our first I Love FX Makeup Beginners class, hosted by Mythica Von Griffin of Mythical Body Painting from the TV show Skin Wars, is happening on January 23rd from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. We will go over the fundamentals of face and body painting, including different brands and products, alcohol versus water versus cream-based products, hand painting versus airbrush, the use of stencils, tips and tricks to perfect your FXpertise, and much more. Cost is $175 a person, with supplies provided. You'll leave with over $100 in supplies, $150 a person if you bring your own supplies. The event is completely interactive. Everyone will paint. Everyone will be painted. We embrace a body positive environment. If you wish to bring a model to paint, please let us know ahead of time as there are space restrictions. Body shaming of any type is not permitted and you will forfeit your class ticket. Note, this is not a nude event. Body painting does require clothing, about the same you would find at the beach at minimum. If you're looking for nudity, this isn't the class for you. For more information, go to facebook.com/ChicagoBodyPaint or ChicagoBodyPaint.com. And finally, we have this news on a possible dark ride based off the show The Walking Dead. Ratings aside, it doesn't seem that AMC's The Walking Dead will be leaving the public's consciousness anytime soon. With fans almost as ravenous as the walkers themselves, The Walking Dead is a hot enough property to warrant not only a pinball machine and the Talking Dead after show, but now it's likely the series could become an attraction at a theme park near you. While most exhibitors at November's IAPA Expo were there to elicit smiles and laughter, Sally Corporation was offering the promise of shrieks and screams with their new The Walking Dead Dark Ride. Not a roller coaster, but rather a themed attraction you ride through. Dark rides have evolved a lot since the days of Pirates of the Caribbean, and The Walking Dead Battle for Survival ride aims to be much more interactive. John Wood, chairman and CEO of Sally Corporation, describes his still-in-development attraction this way. The concept right now is select a weapon, so you're able to select a crossbow if you wanted to, or select a shotgun, or others that you could possibly use virtually, so it is all of them captured on the screen in front of you. Riders would then be taken through the familiar deadly world of the TV show and thrust into intense simulations of peril as survivors of the zombie apocalypse. The stressful situations, haunting theme music, and blood-stained walkers will no doubt seem familiar to friends of the show, but riders may not see too many other familiar faces. Currently, the concept sketches from Sally Corp depict the Terminus rail yard, Steve's pharmacy, and other locations from the AMC series. If the description of the Dark Ride is a little vague right now, that's because Sally Corporation is only in the second phase of their development process, which includes storyboarding through a scripting process and breaking down the individual elements and costs of the 3 to 4 minute ride to pitch to the theme park industry's potential buyers. Although with actual construction time of this attraction, it will be over a year before it would be open to the public. Production time, that is. At least a year to get everything ready to go and install somewhere. These rides are not small. They're 20,000 square feet. There's sets, scenery, lights, camera, projectors, speakers, scenic work, ride systems, control systems, fog machines, fire devices, and live fire in the ride, says Wood. For those fans worried about the quality of their beloved television series coming to a theme park, Sally Corporation's last ride should put fans at ease. As producers of Six Flags Justice League, Battle for Metropolis, the Great American Dark Ride Company earned the Impact Award from IAPA this year for the best new product and one with the most industry impact. As an industry leader, Sally Corporation was approached directly by AMC about the project. The ride manufacturer is up to the challenge, but mindful of the responsibility to fans of the show. Quote, "We want to be true to the expectations of the Walking Dead fans, and we want to make them feel like they're really in the environment, but we don't want to take on any specific story or episode that is singular. We want it broader in its appeal and approach and longevity, too." Unquote. If we know anything about The Walking Dead, it's that longevity is a key. Let's all hope this idea lives to see another day. As always, we will continue to follow this story and report if one is coming to a theme park near you.
Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Want to take your haunt to a new dimension of terror? Then let Dark Imaginings conjure up some ghoulish graphics and web design services for your home, haunt, or crypt. Since 2007, professional and home haunters alike have trusted our award-winning and dedicated skeleton crew to make their nightmares come true. Whether you need graphic design services, logos, websites, spooky visuals, or creepy changing portraits, we can help your business look its scary best. To see more of our products and services, drop by darkimaginings.com. Let us help you get ahead of your competition.
Weiser here on this year-end edition of the Weiser's Haunted Vista. And here we sit in the midst of the holiday season. Hope everyone had a terrific Christmas and hope all your New Year's celebrations are safe and happy. Anyway, I wanted to do something a bit special and give due credit to the guy who has always been an influence of mine. Rich Coase, a.k.a. the son of Svengoolie, nowadays simply Svengoolie, a man without whose shtick I could not have, borrowed from at times. Yeah, that's it. So, without further ado...
The following prescribed is transcribed.
Long-term fans may remember that bit there. That screaming drove my folks bonkers. Incidentally, the guitar track is called Rumble, performed by Link Wray. Without wanting to regurgitate too much, Now, how's that for a descriptive prose? I've spoken before about the love the Windy City has for Halloween and horror films, Chicago being the launching pad for legendary programming like WGN's Creature Features and Screaming Yellow Theater, which, of course, feature the late Jerry G. Bishop as the original Svengoolie. That show's title, Screaming Yellow Theater, was derived from Screaming Yellow Zonkers, a yellow, sugary, glazed popcorn snack first produced in the 1960s. I've had it, and judging by the nature of the show, I can see why they paraphrased it. Talk about a sugar rush. Insulin sold separately. Jerry debuted on September 18, 1970 on WFLD-TV, Channel 32, and ran until late summer 1973.
That's right!
I actually never saw Mr. Bishop's original show. He debuted when I was 3, and he was on late night, 11:30 p.m. or so, and I think my parents would have may have taken umbrage with me staying up that late. In the latter seasons, a young man named Rich Coes, a fan who sent in sketch ideas, became a show writer, and in 1973, Kaiser Broadcasting, or Kaiser, take a pick, took over WFLD from Field Communications, and Screaming Yellow Theater was canceled and replaced with The Ghoul from Cleveland. That show lasted until 1974 when it was taken off the air. Field Communications took WFLD back from Kaiser Broadcasting in 1978, which led Jerry G. Bishop and Rich Coes to discuss the show's resurrection. The 1970s and early 80s were a hotbed for horror and sci-fi in the Windy City. There were literally tons of monster movies running every weekend. Creature Features, Chiller Theater, The Monstrous Movie, Thing Theater, the Monster Rally Movie, Monster Movie 1 and 2, and then, in 1979, we were brought The Son of Svengoolie. Add into that ceaseless afternoon reruns of The Munsters, Addams Family, and Godzilla-related stuff like Ultraman, Johnny Sacco, and the Space Giants, and, life was good. Dare I say it, I wouldn't be the man I am now if it weren't for Chicago TV. I'm not so sure that's such a good thing. Chicago has always had a distinct love for Halloween, haunted houses, and the Universal monsters. Heck, monster movies in general. For example, in 1981, The Son of Svengoolie ran The Bride of Frankenstein one Saturday night against The Love Boat and Fantasy Island, and won the local time slot. Eat Your Heart Out Tattoo. Trust me, this was no small feat. Both shows were immensely popular at the time, and for a small upstart UHF channel to win out over both shows said plenty. As for The Son of Svengoolie, his show launched on June 16, 1979, the day after my 12th birthday, no less, and the best present I got that year. Even from that first show, there was something very special about Coes. He didn't take himself seriously, something a lot of horror hosts missed the bullet on, and very quick-witted as well. Incidentally, that very first segment is all over YouTube, and although a bit dated, note the film references Coes makes, it's indicative of his talents. Plus, Jerry G. Bishop appears on the show, no less, to give him a good send-off.
Good evening. I'm Jerry G. Bishop, and this is the famed split-level dungeon studio where, many years ago, the legendary Svengoolie burst into television prominence. Even today, many fondly remember Svengoolie providing the same classic entertainment as such time-honored shows as Hello Larry, My Mother the Car, or Celebrity Pin Spotting. But then, one day, at his peak, Svengoolie simply dropped from sight. The rumors were many. That he'd dyed his hair and changed his name to Phil Donahue. That he'd gone on to a rewarding career in motel management. No one knew for sure. And yet, one rumor still is whispered among an uneasy populace. What if there were the same situation as in the past with the Son of Frankenstein? The Son of Dracula? Sanford and Son? Could there exist somewhere, somehow, the Son of Svengoolie?
Hey, Dad, can I borrow the keys to the hearse tonight?
Yeah!
Ah, thank you. Ah, good evening. I am the Son of Svengoolie.
Well, I didn't think you were Rula Lenska.
Well, it's an honest mistake. We've got a movie for you tonight that makes Dawn of the Dead look like Godzilla meets the Brady Bunch. Right, guys? Huh?
No. Well, sorry.
Rich poked fun at everyone and everything, including himself, not to mention the city of Berwyn.
Berwyn!
And his song parodies with his longtime friend keyboardist Doug Scharf, a.k.a. Doug Graves. Get it? We're always a highlight. One of my favorite shows during this time was shortly before Halloween 1980, when he hosted what Coase termed a Halloween Draculathon, running Dracula, Dracula's Daughter, and the House of Dracula over a six-hour block, peppered with bad skits and bits. Coase always ran a weekly mail segment as well, highlighting viewer letters, artwork, and birthdays. Although he doesn't do birthdays anymore, primarily as he himself has stated that they just slow the progress of the segment down so much. And by the way, I managed to get myself and my pictures on more than a few times. For example...
Okay, fine. Well, thank you so much for coming by. That was just... Would you like to show this picture again? Show this picture. It was really neat. Hold it up to that camera there. That's from our pal, Eric Ringelweister. Thank you so much. It certainly is nice to have you here from Colorado. Bring some mountains with next time, would you?
Incidentally, that skit was from January of 1981, and he had a certain team's cheerleaders, I'm not sure what, on the show, hence the Colorado reference. I never forgot one letter in particular. This was in October of 1982 or so, and I was 15 or 16. I'd written what I thought was going to be a clever little piece of wittiness and all that, and next thing I know, Sven is raking me over the coals with it. I was about to get my driver's license. I had said something to the effect of, if you don't like the way I drive, get off the sidewalk, and he just roasted me with car crash sound effects and warning everyone to run for your life. And then he told me to stop sending him requests for the original Godzilla and send him to the channel between 8 and 10. A few of my friends caught this, and I didn't hear the end of it for weeks. By the way, does anyone have this piece? It would be in September or October of 1982 if that helps, and I'd love to hear it again. Come July of 1982, WFLD tried an experiment and joined promotion with 7-Eleven, running Revenge of the Creature in 3D, with 7-Eleven being the place to get your glasses. In the end, it didn't come off all that hot. The 3D works great on the big screens, but not so well on the TV. Still, it was a bold move, got Sven a lot of recognition, and something like this wouldn't even get off the ground nowadays. Sven would also have guest stars on from time to time from local celebrities, radio, DJs, sports celebrities, what have you not. But one in particular really touched my heart, and that was when the late John Pertwee, the third Doctor Who, popped up in 1984, who was in town for the Chicago TARDIS convention. This bit is on YouTube, and it's hysterical. By late 1982, my tastes and attitudes were changing, and I kind of lost track of Sven for the next few years. His time slot fluctuated from Saturday evenings to Saturday afternoon, to Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for crying out loud, until echoing Bishop's program late night as well. Although I did keep a finger on the pulse a bit, and I have a few memories in that regard.
Shut up,
in a few minutes. Late summer of 1985, and TriStar Pictures were about to release Godzilla 1985 to the theaters, and Sven had an Oh My Godzilla contest, winner getting a couple of passes for the film, which is par for the course. He would do this from time to time. Needless to say, I didn't get him, but hey, whatever. In early November of 1985, I had developed an extremely painful abscess in my right thumb.
Ow, ow, ow!
And ended up in the ER, literally the morning after one of my best friend's 18th birthday party. Anyway, after that was dispatched with some minor outpatient surgery...
Ow!
My friend came by that evening to see how I was doing, and whilst we were all sitting around in the front room with my thumb soaking in disinfecting solution, guess who was on the boob tube? Sven was running The Bride of Frankenstein again, and it was just the bit where the monster happens upon the hermit in the woods, and the hermit starts weeping over his newfound friend, and right at the end of that speech, Sven pops in blubbering, "Wasn't that beautiful?" and has all of us falling all over ourselves laughing. Yeah. Life was good then. Sven Gulli had a terrific run from 79 till January of 86 when the Fox Network purchased WFLD and promptly booted Rich to the curb after 7 years.
Aww.
So much for loyalty, huh? His final show was on January 25th, 1986, which I did record on my VCR, and it's a rather bittersweet farewell. You could tell he wanted to continue, but alas, corporate TV and all that. And that, as they say, was that for a long time for me, as after moving to Chicago to Dayton in 1988, I was out of the loop for a long time in regards of what Rich was up to. But when I heard of his return in January of 1985, I was floored. YouTube wasn't as prevalent as it is now, but friends would send me the show on VCR tapes, remember those? And I was pleased to see that Rich was as funny as ever. In between those times, Rich eventually returned to Channel 32, doing freelance work, hosting Three Stooges marathons, even doing the weather for a few years on the local news. Most importantly, he developed his own show, The Co-Zone, which earned him his third local Emmy, the first two being in the early part of Son of Svengoolie's run. No stopping this guy. There's a very informative and humorous piece on Rich's career on YouTube, hosted by none other than the late Jerry G. Bishop himself. Hint, hint. And it fills in the blanks on a lot of what Rich was doing in between his times as Svengoolie. I have to single out Scary Monsters magazine, who has given Sven quite a bit of coverage over the years. Go check out issues 62 and 87 in particular, and also help me to keep up with what he was doing in the meantime. My local cable company finally began carrying a MeTV affiliate this year, so now I can enjoy Sven's antics regularly and unabated. And just for the record, Sven is partially responsible for turning me into a metalhead as well. Let me explain. Around the summer of 1980, in fact on his one-year anniversary show that June, he began running Billy Joel's You May Be Right off of his current album at the time, Glass Houses, during his show closings. Being the diehard Sven fan that I was, I went out and bought the record, and while you would be hard-pressed to call the album or Billy Joel heavy metal by any stretch, this one had some of those elements to it, and it led me to checking out bands like AC/DC and Black Sabbath, and well, you can figure out the rest. So, with all the love and gratitude in my heart, all I can add to this is, Sven, you owe me a miracle here, dude. For those curious, YouTube has a lot of his late 70s, early 80s material floating around. And if you want to see Coe's at his funniest, look up skits like The Vampire Carpets Man, Svenards, a take on Menards for those unfamiliar, Shabooms, Svenford and Son, and in particular, Mr. Robber's Neighborhood, a skit that earned him his first local Emmy Award for Outstanding Entertainment Program. Also be looking out for a video segment on Svengoolie from a Chicago TV entertainment variety show called PM Magazine. This came out sometime in 1981. It's a very revealing and insightful piece, and Rich gives some motivations on the character for us as well. Without Sven, I would have missed out on a lot of terrific horror flicks like Dementia 13, Blackula, Die Monster Die, and The Haunted Strangler. I also saw Universal classics like Dracula's Daughter, The Bride of Frankenstein, and The Invisible Man for the first time here, plus a lot of the Roger Corman, Vincent Price, Edgar Allan Poe flicks, including Mask of the Red Death, The Tomb of Ligeia, which, incidentally, was the first time he mentioned me on his mail segment, so yeah, that one has a special place in my heart. And this was also the first time I was exposed to 50s gems like Tarantula, The Deadly Mantis, and The Monolith Monsters. Oddly enough, with the correspondence we've had over the years, he actually remembered me from all those years back when I contacted him again in 2007 or so. I've only met the man once face to face. This was in October of 2009 at a local Chicago area haunted house. We had a great time, and his reaction was hilarious when he finally put a face to my name, and he was very gracious as well. I still keep up with Sven's antics on MeTV now that my cable company have finally added it. Maybe not with as much consistency as I did as a kid, but hey, I'm still in there, and it's gratifying to see him still going strong after all this time. I'll embarrass him mightily one more time here. Just this year, we were preparing for a trip to Chicago for the 2015 AsenCon. It's a Japanese anime con, although it covers all different aspects of sci-fi and comic books. And Lisa hit upon it to dress up as Sven for the show. Came off rather well, too. Anyway, two things came out of this. One, I wrote Rich asking for pointers on doing his makeup. Yeah, we know it's a relatively easy job, but Lisa and I truly suck at this kind of thing, and he was gracious enough to send my wife detailed instructions on it. And two, a few months afterwards, we sent Rich a copy of our chicken shield that he uses. We built it out of the same styrofoam we use for tombstones, and voila! A few weeks later, this happens.
Our friends Eric and Lisa Beister sent us this facsimile of my chicken shield that I use every week at the end of the show. They made it when Lisa dressed up as me for an anime convention, and they did warn me, though. This one's made of styrofoam, so it shouldn't be used as a protective device, Kerwin.
Well, actually, it'll work fine if anybody throws styrofoam chickens.
Yes, indeed.
In conclusion, and yes, I'm going to shut up now, all I can say is thanks for all the laughs, Rich, and may you rumble for many years to come. For those wanting a bit of a visual accompaniment to this segment, scoot over to my Blogspot page, the Veister's Halloween Haunt Journal, and look for the May 2014 post. I put together a tribute piece for Senguli along with a sadly now-defunct Chicago-area haunt, Villa Park, mind you, called the Asylum Experiment. Long story short, this was in the days of my former podcast, and was actually what I thought, at the time, going to be my final foray into this medium, so I pulled out all the stops for this, and, well, what can we say? We're all still here, aren't we? It's a pretty detailed piece on Sven, I think. Go check it out and see what you think. As ever, I always welcome comments, suggestions, and constructive criticism. And you can reach me at ericbssh@gmail.com or drop me a line on Facebook. I check each daily. Next month, I'll be here twice if at all inhumanly possible. First, I'll resume our look at the Universal Monsters and we'll get all wrapped up in the Mummy films. Yeah, that stunk, I know. And see where they've been and just maybe what's up next for our favorite undead cursed Egyptian. And right on the heels of that, we're going to take a look at the Aurora Monsters, their legacy, and how this affected monster model kits in general, and a bit of the history and state of the craft today. So until then, I'll close out by wishing you all there a very scary new year for 2016, and echo Sven Gulli as I always do, and remind you to brush your fangs, comb your face, drink your milk before it clots, bite Mama goodnight, and always remember that I hid the unknown scare actor's body after he acquired a better award than I did for his haunt acting this year, and I electrocuted him out of spite. Nothing but love for you, brother. See everybody in 30 days.
And ladies and gentlemen, it is 2016, time to kick off the new year by giving away a great prize, courtesy of Screamline Studios. It's time for the Screamline Studios gruesome giveaway for January. You know how this works. I'm about to ask you a question. If you think you know the answer, send us your name, your number, and of course the answer to contest@bigscaryshow.com. You have until midnight on Monday, January 18th, to get your answer in, so you better listen close and get those answers in. So without further ado, the January 2016 gruesome giveaway question is... In what year did the Veister actually meet Sven Gulli? If you think you know the answer, send us that info with your name and number and the answer to contest@bigscaryshow before Monday, January 18th at midnight. Listen carefully, send it in, and good luck. And as always, thank you, Screamline Studios, ScreamlineStudios.com.
Twisted Grapes. I wish my girlfriend was a zombie. On the Big Scary Show.
My girlfriend's always nagging at me. Always bitching, never happy. The riding words don't mean a thing to me. I wish my girlfriend was a zombie. Wish my girlfriend was. I wish my girlfriend was a zombie. Wish my girlfriend was. I wish my girlfriend was a zombie. I know she wouldn't use me for my money, 'cause all she care about is brains. No one wanna buy no cheesy movie. My girlfriend was a zombie. I wish my girlfriend was. I wish my girlfriend was a zombie. I wish my girlfriend was. I wish my girlfriend was a zombie. touch me.
When she's not, all sex is ugly.
But when she's dead, I'll have a way to see. I wish my girlfriend was a zombie. I wish my girlfriend was. I wish my girlfriend was.
Do you hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's VonCaron, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
Where do some phobias come from? Is it fear of the known or fear of the unknown? Some fears are passed down from generation to generation based on nothing but legends and lore. Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. It's a new year, but we're going to continue talking about the history of Halloween. No holiday with deep roots in the past exists that has not replaced an older holiday that has been detoured from its original meaning and incorporated into a different socio-cultural context, although it may have been preserved in a more or less clandestine manner in a parallel folk culture before re-emerging into the light following extremely precise circumstances. This is how the Roman Saturnalias and the symbolic commemoration of the birth of Mithra at the time of the winter solstice were incorporated and channeled into the celebration of the Nativity of Jesus, which then became the Christian Christmas. Such is the case with All Saints' Day, which recreates the Druid holiday of Samhain. But the manifestations of Halloween, although they also stem from the same Samhain holiday, are not mixed into the ceremonies of the Christian All Saints' Day. However, they have been maintained over the course of the centuries in a parallel fashion that was limited to only a few countries before reappearing almost everywhere at the dawn of the third millennium.
And remember one thing, Honors. Most legend has a basis in fact.
Guard. Here we go. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky, talking with all the celebrities and all the great folks out here. And I'm standing here with the object of Storm's Eye, Mr. Josh Gates, a friend of the show. Has been on the show once or twice before. Expedition Unknown, Destination Truth, Ghost Hunters, all that great stuff. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, man?
We are hanging in there. Friday night, man, you had lots and lots of people coming by, chatting with you and everything. What's going on?
Well, I'm a busy man these days. We're filming the second season of Expedition Unknown, which is my, I guess, relatively new series for Travel Channel. And I just got back a few days ago from filming. We were over in Germany, and I flew home for about 12 hours, came down here to Lexington, and meeting all the good folks here, and then back on the road in about a week.
What are people primarily talking to you about? Is it Expedition Unknown? Is it back the old Destination Truth show? Or what is kind of the big focus of what people are asking you questions about?
Well, I think it's a mix in terms of folks here. You know, this is a horror convention, so obviously a lot of folks here are paranormally inclined. And so lots of good reminiscences about Destination Truth and Ghost Hunters Live and all that good stuff. But, you know, I'm really thrilled at how well people have responded to the new show. And it has less kind of monsters and ghosts, maybe, and more legends and mysteries. But those legends and mysteries often do have a kind of paranormal element to them. Or, you know, we've done shows that revolve around things like curses and
mystical swords.
Yeah, you know, exactly, mystical weapons and things like that. So the stories still have this great natural hook. And that's what I think people are responding to about the show, is that they're just cool stories.
And I think, it's, if nothing else, you're also providing an educational experience to a lot of people. I mean, you know, Magical Sword of Japan, we must find this. And here's the whole history behind it, and it's really cool. Plus, you got to do some really cool ninja stuff, it looked like.
Yeah, absolutely. The Japan episode was great. I got to train with a samurai warrior, which was mostly just me getting my butt kicked. But no, you know, that is a big part of the show, is that, you know, we're really trying to take our viewers on a real roughshod adventure. And often it's funny and often it's unexpected. But it also often has a lot of kind of learned lessons along the way about the history and the culture of the place we're visiting. So really cool.
How do you come up with ideas? Well, let's go to Austria, or let's go to New Zealand, or let's go to Antarctica and find out whatever. Do people come to you and say, come check out our history or our special little interesting thing, or do you go out and hunt for them?
Right. Well, I would like to say that I choose the places by just figuring out where I want to go on vacation, but then every episode would just be me sitting on a beach, so that doesn't work very well. Now, typically we're looking to go someplace where there's been a development of some kind in the story. You know, if for instance, if we were going to consider a show about, like, Atlantis, let's say, if there's nobody out there really looking for Atlantis or nobody who has a really credible, interesting new take on the legend, it's tough to fill an hour of TV. Then we're just sort of telling you about history and legend. So we want to go meet people that are doing things, that are actively engaged in searching for things. So one of the really cool things about Expedition Unknown is we get to link in with these badass explorers and archaeologists who are, like, literally, you know, forging a trail into the unknown. And we get to sort of tag along for the ride and hopefully see some real discovery along the way.
Where can you give us some hints or secrets about some of the places you'll be visiting in Season 2?
Season 2 is, I'm really, really excited about it. We're in the middle of filming it right now. We've already filmed 7 or 8 episodes. We're doing a couple of really cool U.S.-based episodes, a really neat treasure story that I didn't know much about in the American West. We're going to be doing a really neat show on Christopher Columbus, who's a guy who I thought I knew a little bit about, and it turns out I know almost nothing about. He's a really mysterious figure, actually. And so part of that show will take us to Spain and to Haiti. Haiti, a place that doesn't really get, you know, a lot of coverage on TV other than kind of for humanitarian reasons. It's a really interesting place. So we're going to Japan to do something with these underwater ruins. And, I mean, really, really cool stories. So lots more treasures and lost cities. And we just finished filming a thing on hidden Nazi treasures in Germany and Austria. So really cool stuff.
Is that the ghost train?
No, but it's really interesting. That's all unfolding right now.
Yeah, that's been in the news the last just few days.
We talked seriously about diverting over to Poland, which is where that story's coming out of, but there's kind of an information block there right now. They're basically saying, you know, nobody's going to get access to whatever this is, and it could be rigged with explosives, and so it may take months for that to settle out. I don't even know if there is something there or not, frankly. It's like, it seems like every time I read about it, it's a conflicting report of whether they have found this train or not, but no, we did a thing with hidden Nazi stuff in tunnels and in the bottom of a lake in Austria. So really, really neat stuff.
What about these books that you've got out here?
Selling a cookbook that I... No, it's not a cookbook. It's a book called Memoirs of a Monster Hunter from my time on Destination Truth. So it's a book that I wrote while we were making the show, which digs a little bit deeper into some of the stories and also talks about how the show came to be and really a little bit of what it's like traveling out on the road.
Very nice. Is that available on Amazon or bookstores?
It is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and you can get it online at a few different resellers, yeah.
Speaking of places online, where can everybody get more information on Expedition Unknown, Destination Truth, Josh Gates in general? Maybe you're making a few more con appearances before jet-setting off to some other exotic locale in the world to have yet another grand adventure, Mr. I've Got the Greatest Job in the World?
Well, I won't argue with that. It is a great job. It's really, really fun.
Need an assistant?
Yeah, although I will say be careful what you wish for. It's a lot of eating insects and cramped airplanes and sketchy vehicles. So, are you still interested?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Folks can go to travelchannel.com, and there'll be information there on Expedition Unknown. Our new series premieres October 7th, which is a Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. Sci-Fi Channel's still running marathons of Destination Truth. You can go to sci-fi.com and check their schedule. And you can go to joshuagates.com to see about appearances and other info and news about me. And I'm on Twitter, at Joshua Gates.
Verified.
Verified, my friend.
Everybody wants that blue check.
I know. It's like talk about mysteries. That was the biggest, weirdest mystery in the world as to how to get verified.
How does one get the blue check?
It's really weird. Like, you gotta, like, I literally had to, like, ask a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy.
Could this be an episode?
Yes. We could do a full hour on how one gets verified on Twitter.
And still not get verified.
And still not get verified or understand how the process works.
So once again, go to joshuagates.com for everything Josh Gates. Making any con appearances, by the way? One last question.
You know, I'm not, for the remainder of this year, I'm traveling almost from now all the way through the end of the year. So lucky to really fit this in and a few other events earlier this year. But I'm hoping next year to be able to, you know, thread a few more into the schedule.
Excellent. Well, it's great to have you back here at the Scarefest. As always, Josh Gates, wishing nothing but success. Hopefully you'll find some of these cool things and maybe take home a little bit of treasure. And if nothing else, some great stories and ventures for yet another book. Once again, this is Drew Badger here live at the Scarefest, Lexington, Kentucky. And we are out.
CreepyCollection.com, the most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com, for all your gore and more.
A Big Scary Show exclusive. Grave Robber, Nightbreed, from the Big Scary Show.
Like dogs return to vomit, like lambs led to the slaughter, like villagers with torches come to burn the tower. They bring their castigation, instigate extermination of our
Ugh, this mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scared.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people. Screamline Studios, ScreamlineStudios.com. Necrotic Creations, NecroticCreations.com. HauntPay at HauntPay.com. Von Charon Productions, that's V-O-N-C-H-A-R-O-N Productions, VonCharon.com. Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Creepy Collection. Darkest Fears Unlimited. And Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. We would also like to thank the four hosts, including Storm. Check out his rants and more at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor. Actor Trainer and Traveling Actor Troupe. Find out more about Maul at MaulMonsters.com. That's M-A-U-L Monsters.com. The Hauntstrumentalist Jerry Vane. Check out his latest CD, Circus of Nightmares, at JerryVane.com. Drew Badger, Actor Trainer, Consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. You can leave us feedback. Feedback at BigScaryShow.com. If you have any news, news at BigScaryShow.com. Check out our Facebook page at Facebook.com/BigScaryShow. And Twitter at TheBigScaryShow, where we just may tweet some info you won't hear anywhere else. You can also search for us on iTunes and Stitcher. To keep up with all the latest news and info, you can always find us at BigScaryShow.com. And thank you for listening. Without you, we are nothing.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves. Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those VideoTube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.hauntersdigest.com today.